The globalists' great error is to believe that as they collapse humanity, they end up on top. The truth is, humanity is coming down fast, but we're miles above them on our journey to hell.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
First, the Eastern Caribbean, then Cuba, now Naples, Florida, Marcos Island have been wrecked as the storm has come on the edge of the shore at a Category 3 and is pushing a huge storm surge up towards Tampa, set to hit there with its full intensity in the next 6 hours, but already causing 4 and 5 foot storm surge in. But it is not a biblical megastorm like it was 5-6 days ago out in the Eastern Caribbean, where it would take prosperous islands with large concrete hotel structures and flatten them, making islands uninhabitable, like Barbados and others. So we're going to be tracking all of this today as it unfolds, but a strong hurricane slamming in to southern western Florida. But it's covering the entire state and is set more and more to go westerly. In fact, some paths have it going ahead after it hits Tampa, bouncing out to sea and could go up towards the Panhandle, Louisiana, Mississippi, or even Texas. But most tracks show it going up the western side, up into Georgia, up into the Carolinas. Here's the problem. The tracks that they had going back 2 weeks ago, a week ago, 3 days ago, 2 days ago, none of them were right. The tracks always showed it going out in the Atlantic or up the East Coast, and then the last few days going up the center of the state, and then now they show it going westerly, but you know, staying along the westerly side, with some now saying, oh, maybe it's going to track out to sea. But my experience with Katrina and so many others, it sits out in the eastern Atlantic, heats up, comes in, runs along the bottom of Florida. Katrina sat there for like 3 days just spinning off the coast and then zipped on over, as we all witnessed. This gives us a unique opportunity, while the public is paying attention to weather, to point out a couple big things. We have the UN, we have Al Gore, we have the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, we have Obama and all the folks who are invested in the carbon tax swindle, the big Hollywood folks as well, George Clooney's, saying it's your fault this happened. Even though back in the time of Christopher Columbus, they reported on storms in the Caribbean and storms in the southern United States that would knock over every tree when they made landfall. I've not seen a storm that knocks down every tree. So we know about mega storms, sometimes that would go on for weeks. That would be, of course, 2 or 3 hurricanes or cyclones right behind each other, like we're seeing with Irma, and we've got Jose, and then we've got Tatia out in the western Caribbean spinning around. Tatia. I can't pronounce anything right. How do you say it? Katia with a K, thank you. I don't have a teleprompter, but they do occasionally pop in my ear when I'm getting something wrong. So that's always good. But hey, I'm pretty good to get all these hurricane names right without a teleprompter. It kind of trains you to be focused, but I'm not too good on my Russian names, even though I supposedly get my orders from Vladimir Putin. Now, getting serious, we have some amazing guests today. When I say amazing, there's been a lot of new big developments the last few years in the area of geoengineering, namely that planetary weather control projects have been admitted by governments. Russia, China, Dubai, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, even South American countries are admitting it. But they always make fun of it in our news, and that's because the United States leads it. So there's been some big new developments. One of the leading researchers on this, Dane Whittington, is going to be joining us in the second hour. Stan Deo, amazing earthquake expert, one of the best tracking records out there of being able to predict earthquakes, going to get into why we saw the record earthquake a few days ago in Mexico, 8.1, 8.3, depending on the Richter scale report we see. That's the strongest ever recorded in Mexico. We're going to look at that and just talk about these huge developments dealing with the deep state and its deep projects.
We want your soul. We want your soul.
defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Tell us your habits, your facts, your fears. Give us your address, your shoe size, your ears, your digits.
Dane Wigington, just one of the best researchers out there, he's a scientist engineer, into geoengineering and weather modification, is going to be joining us coming up in the second hour. Stan Deo is going to pop in at the bottom of the hour. One of the top, he's an engineer with many letters behind his name, but one of the top accurate predictors, lay predictors of earthquakes. We're going to be talking to him and looking at some of the latest models dealing with earthquakes and why the strongest earthquake in Mexican history, in the history of Mexico, to be recorded, hit just a few days ago. And why are earthquakes and typhoons and hurricanes tied into that historically? That is all coming up. Because I don't want to just sit here and look at an event like this and say, oh, let's pay Al Gore some carbon taxes. You know, let's say that this is all man-made by individuals without looking at the fact that it's been the sun historically, and the science shows this. We had an astrophysicist on earlier today before I did my standard Sunday 4 to 6 p.m. We've been live since 9 a.m. this morning, myself and Leanne McAdoo and Owen Schroyer and, of course, David Knight and much of the crew. And we had a very esteemed physicist on, astrophysicist from Harvard, getting into how the sun is the main driver. We're going to be airing some excerpts of that towards the end of the broadcast as well. Our own Millie Weaver hosting for 2 hours, interviewed him. Very powerful information. The sun is more than 99% of the climate. You know, whenever I say the sun's much bigger than the Earth, I'll throw out how many planet Earths it would take just to fill up the surface of the sun, but not the actual entire volume of the sun. So will you guys pull up for me how many Earths can fit into the sun? Just to give you guys an example, it's an astronomical number. I don't want to get it wrong from memory. But imagine the UN and mainline meteorologists. They had a UN vote 7 years ago, University Today, 1.3 million Earths. The answer is it would take 1.3 million, that's 1,300,000 Earths, to fill up the sun. That's a lot of Earths. The sun makes up 99.86% of the mass of the solar system. And it's giant planets like Jupiter and Saturn, which make up most of the remaining 0.14% of the solar system. Do me a favor, print me that Universe Today article with the NASA data. So see, I just throw out something like, the sun is thousands of times bigger than the Earth. Then I said that on air today, and I was like, wait a minute. Jupiter's like 300 times, and isn't Saturn 90 times? Let's just see if my memory's right. Probably isn't. And then I started thinking, wait, they admit you could put hundreds and hundreds of Jupiters in the sun. And you start looking at the numbers, it's tens of thousands of Jupiters and Saturns in the sun and all the other planets, because it's 0.14. So imagine 1.3 million third rock from the sun, planet Earth, terra firma, 1.3 million. And we are third rock out. It's Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars. It goes out from there. And they're telling us the sun has nothing to do with climate, even though we have the hurricanes and we have summer when we're tilted towards the sun. And then on the bottom of the Earth, when it's tilted around, it gets more sun for part of the year. Now, this is incontrovertible fact. It is the sun that heats more than 99% of the Earth. What heats the rest of it? Thermal vents, they account for, let's test my memory, less than 1%. Thermal vents, you know, volcanic heat that makes it up to the crust of the Earth, into the ocean mainly, and some volcanoes on the surface, but subterranean volcanoes, undersea volcanoes, above ground volcanoes. You got a lot of volcanic heat that comes up through hot water and springs. So you've got volcanoes under the ground, or you've got fissures down to the earth into magma, and then you've got the above ground volcanoes, and then you've got the undersea volcanoes. in the big Pacific Rim and other areas. And that's the main thing other than the sun heating the earth, and it's less than 1%, it's estimated. So the sun is the main system heating the earth. And in the summer, we have the hurricanes into the early fall because the water gets the hottest towards the end of the summer. And even as it cools a little bit, still it takes time for that massive water to dissipate that heat energy. I'm no scientist. This is all just admitted fact. But the UN 7 years ago, because all these scientists were coming out, astrophysicists from Harvard and other places, and were saying, what you're doing is a fraud, saying it's man-made. And it's carbon dioxide. We are such a small effect. It's mainly the sun. They said, no, we don't want to hear that. So they had a vote at the Copenhagen event at the UN. But they were meeting in Copenhagen, Denmark, for the treaty, for world government carbon tax treaty to track everything we do and taxes and make us pay money to private central banks anytime we did any human activity. Total global feudalist system. And they said at that event, we have voted with the UN scientists, the handpicked ones, that the sun has no effect on climate, keyword, change. Ladies and gentlemen, it is an absolute fact that when the sun goes into these heating cycles and dormant cycles that are roughly 11 to 12-year cycles, then it has super cycles, 120-year cycles, that the sun heats up and the sun heats down. The sun heats up, the sun heats down. When it's heating up, when it's having more thermonuclear explosions inside of it, but at such a mass, it contains those explosions. Some of it ripples out on the surface as solar flares, as coronal mass ejections. And those fly out towards the Earth with all their heat. You feel it when you're outside. Not a conspiracy theory. You feel it outside. The plants live off of it, photosynthesis. And when we're pointed towards the sun, leaning towards it, we have the summer. And then as we turn away, we go to the fall. We're really turned away, we're the winter. As we turn back in, it's the spring and it's the summer. I know 99% of you are saying, Jones, we know all this. 2 + 2 = 4. Well, under the program they wanted in the public schools with Obama, they said that 2 + 2 does not always equal 4 under Common Core. So they're engineering mass voodoo, mass mental illness. Whenever Christians, you know, say, oh, we're having hurricanes or tornadoes because of sodomy or something, people say, oh, you're a bunch of voodoo crazies, a bunch of superstitious. But then when Jennifer Lawrence, who I'm going to play when we come back, when she comes out and says that it is the fault of people voting Trump, Irma and Harvey, the Hollywood goes wild and says, yes. And then they have the more pseudoscience version. The CNN and the New York Times have people on there going, yes, this is global warming man-made. We're paying for it from Mother Nature. So they're telling you that you're individually geoengineering everything. Individually in the aggregate, you're bad. But governments aren't geoengineering. But here's the problem. Just like they had the Manhattan Project for 4 years, totally secret, hundreds of thousands of people involved, compartmentalized. No one knew. Even when they tested an atomic bomb out in the desert in the United States, they just told folks, oh, that was some thunder. Never mind, go away. Until they dropped A-bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in 1945. Now, that's a 1900 equation that gave us atomic bombs. Even the backwards North Koreans that can't even build their own cars or make their own toilet paper, they know how to make hydrogen bombs now because the Clintons and others gave them the technology. So imagine if they did that back in the 40s, what do they got cooking now? Well, here's the difference. They act like you're dumb animals. The globalists, the social engineers, the academics go have conferences, admit they're geoengineering, admit they're spraying, admit they're doing it all. Then they hire comedians. Globalist system is ridiculous. They hire all the top comedians to go on all the shows and attack and make up stuff that I've never said to then say there's no such thing as geoengineering so that you never have a debate about it and stay like an ignorant savage while they just move on and take full control of the weather, which is something you know governments signed a treaty in 1978 to do secretly amongst themselves but to not tell the public. You're going to see it all, the proof coming up. Solar superstorms are now slamming into the Earth. They're directly tied to increased storm power as they ionize the atmosphere, creating more particula for water droplets to form.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
The secrets of hurricanes, weather modification, geoengineering, and the sun. But the globalists don't want you to know. We're covering it all here live on this Sunday transmission during a 13-hour special broadcast. That's right. We started at 9 a.m. this morning, and we're going until past 10 o'clock tonight when I'm done at 6 o'clock Central. Rob Dew and, of course, Michael Zimmerman are both going to be hosting. The Earth is right in the Goldilocks zone. Too close to the sun, you'd be like Venus or Mercury. Too far away, you'd be like Mars. Too cold, not able to hold an atmosphere. We're right in the perfect spot. Why would the UN vote 7 years ago to say the sun has no effect on climate change? Because they want to blame you, and they want to play God and sell you on the idea that they can control weather. But only after they blamed you for the problems, then you've got to have a global tax for global geoengineering. My great frustration is this. I have read 60-page Council on Foreign Relations reports. I've read 30-plus page UN reports. I have read 400-page books on geoengineering. I've interviewed the father of weather weapons when it was declassified in 2006, and then he got a visit from the government. Ben Livingston would do no more interviews. And he's admittedly the former head of the Air Force program. And I'm informed, but mainstream media will say, Jones says the tornado was sent by Obama that hit Oklahoma City. Never said that. Or Jones says there's giant wasps living under the UN building. Never said that. These are quotes from Rachel Maddow and others. And then even people I know, people that say they're my friends who are on TV and radio will go, yeah, Jones kind of gets out there saying there's giant wasps under the UN building. Or Jones kind of gets out there saying there's slave colonies on Mars. I called up one friend and I said, I'll give you $100,000. You can show me saying that on video or audio over it. And you can't find it. It's a lie. I have a stack. It doesn't hurt me that I'm being attacked. In fact, it makes me more popular, more successful. But they're building this big straw man of me. And so as they build this giant fake straw man to try to attack the human awakening and create that as a symbol, try to make me a symbol of falsity, the shadow of the giant lie they've built makes my operation, who I really am, bigger for those that actually come and find us. But see, there's a race to build this big giant Alex Jones. I mean, 7 TV shows airing weekly, some 5 nights a week in primetime slots where the host is supposedly me and they say the most racist, horrible crap. I mean, one episode is, I'm Alex Jones and I hate people with long hair. And they just repeat jokes about long hair. So, and then people with long hair suddenly see me and go, F you, man! Never said it. Then the next episode, Alex Jones hates gays. Then goes through things I've supposedly said. Alex Jones hates blacks. Remember Alec Baldwin playing the part of the president on Saturday Night Live? I'm Alec, I'm President Trump. I don't like black people. They're not humans. I learned it from Alex Jones. Infowars.com, Alex Jones. Now, why would you do that? Because they think their viewers are idiots. And they're inoculating them psychologically every episode. I hate women. They'll even cut this out, but I don't care. They're deceivers. They say, I say, I hate women. I hate gays. I hate trannies. Or they say, oh, that's the proper term. You know, use trans, Alex. You're being hateful. There's no way to win. I hate black people. I hate Hispanics. And they just continue to put it out. In fact, if a new listener tuned in, they're probably thinking, come on, Alec Baldwin didn't come out and say, those aren't humans. Those are black people. I learned it from Alex Jones, okay? Maybe you can cue that up. People won't believe that. I mean, it's every show, but it's not like a couple of Saturday Night Lives attack me. It's 2 shows they've got on Comedy Central every day attacking, or 5 days a week. It's two shows on HBO. It's a Showtime show, and it's a bunch of other ones. I mean, it's everywhere. Why? If you know the answer to that, you'll know how to defeat them. Because I do one thing that anybody else could do. I go out to the actual white papers from MIT, NOAA, the major corporations, the defense industries, all of them. They all want to brag about what they've done to shareholders, or they want to brag to other scientists, so they will thinly couch this stuff. But they admit they're already trying to geoengineer the whole planet. I don't think they have full control because the sun's so powerful. That's why they're actually in competition with the sun and mad that they're not God. And I'm not saying the sun's God, but if you were an atheist, it might as well be your God. Because they say in like 10 minutes, the surface would be freezing if the sun's full radiation didn't happen. You know, it'd say high noon. Within days, it'd be absolute zero through much of the Earth, but still the core would be molten for a while. The sun is 1.3 million times bigger than terra firma, than this planetoid we're on. It's the driver. And they're trying to manipulate, but all they can do is nudge and already take weather systems that the sun has created and then try to control those. But coming up, I'm going to go over the latest with the hurricane and so much more. And we have some special guests joining us, but I'm going to show you if you're a TV viewer. For radio listeners, these are all posted on InfoWars.com, but you don't have to believe me. You can go to DepartmentofDefense.gov, and you can read DOD news briefing, Secretary of Defense William S. Cohen, briefing them on their new weather weapons and their tectonic earthquake and volcano weapons. You might want to read that for yourself. It's right there in the report. We're going to go over that for you. We're going to continue. U.S. Air Force has dispatched its air sprayer C-130s to Texas in response to Hurricane Harvey. They can do weather modification. They can do chemical cleanup. They can also do anti-mosquito spray. And they're massively increasing the fleet of them. The point is, it's going on. The average person is compartmentalized. Don't even know the full mission systems. Council on Foreign Relations developing an international framework for geoengineering. That's from 2010, 7 years ago. It's a 60-plus page report. I suggest you read it. Oh, here's one from last year, June 29th. Central Intelligence Agency news and information press release with the director Brennan speaking at the Council on Foreign Relations about their ongoing program for world government and total geoengineering program. Suggest you might want to read it for yourself. Let's continue. That's at CIA.gov, by the way. Oh, here's another one. But again, just have a few comedians come out and laugh at me. And then see, all the intellectuals, though, they're reading CIA.gov. They're reading The Atlantic. They're reading CFR. They're reading about, oh, the company's doing it. Now Dubai and Qatar and Russia and China are all doing it with ground-based electromagnetic systems to control the weather. Here's The Atlantic Monthly. Re-engineering the Earth. Oh, yeah. It'll lead a global government to do it, though. U.S. Air Force is dispatching air sprayers. Here's another one. Reflecting upon 10 years of geoengineering research. Oh, we got a big report here. Climate. Cloud ionization, electric rainmaking, and laser-guided weather modification. And right as all this comes out, they got a big movie, Geostorm, coming out next month, right on time. Stay with us.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Watch me! Watch me! I got it! Watch me! I got it! Hey! I got something that makes me want to shout. I got something that tells me what it's all about.
Will Soon of Harvard is one of the top astrophysicists in the world. And he was on with Millie Weaver about 2 hours ago. We're having live coverage all day till past 10 o'clock tonight central as we cover Hurricane Irma as it makes landfall in Naples and is now going up the coastline towards Tampa as a Category 3 hugging the coastline. So we've got the sun that's 1.3 million times bigger than Earth. We know it's electromagnetic radiation, not just its heat radiation. Effects goes into the core, bounces back off. We know thermal heat is less than 1% of the Earth's heat. The rest is the sun. And we know that there have been a lot of big earthquakes intensifying in the Pacific Rim, the Ring of Fire, you name it. Now, Stan Deo is a scientist, researcher, worked in classified areas with some of the top corporations, the government, as well as the FBI. And I remember hearing this guy 20 years ago with Art Bell, and he sounded credible, but I just couldn't believe, you know, the earthquake predictions until they kept coming true. Now, he was using government data that they had out on major sites. They took that down. He can still predict it with a lot of precision. And so I want to just get his take about, we know there's geoengineering going on, but they know how to kind of target things from my research that are already happening and just exacerbate it or make it weaker. But then you got the sun coming back into out of a dormant cycle into a more prolific cycle. And then you see all the other earth changes. But why do we see megastorms like 3 hurricanes right now? Irma, a week ago, 185 mile an hour winds, the only time it's ever been recorded in modern history at 185 miles an hour. Why historically, even back with, you know, ignorant savages could tell that when you had big storms, you also had earthquakes. They've lost over 90 people that we know of. Got to pray for those folks in Mexico. Strongest ever recorded in 100 years of seismographs down there. Now, finally, the LA Times is telling the public, get ready for a megaquake, even though they're many years overdue, according to Stan Deo. And I looked at his own research. Now, top seismologists and others agree with him. So I wanted to get Stan Deo on to give us his larger encompassed researched view on why these changes, including political, are all happening globally at the same time. And the Romans wrote about it, just seemed like there'd be volcanoes and suddenly there'd be wars, or there'd be a big storm and there'd be a war. It just, it all seems to go together. You got North Korea and the hydrogen bombs, and you've got, this quake that hit Mexico, that's one of the biggest recorded in many, many years. I mean, just look at how huge it is compared to other big quakes that are happening. So Stan Deo of Stan Deo, DEYO.com, amazing author, filmmaker. I'm not going to go over his whole bio because we'll run out of time if we do. But we do have coming up, of course, astrophysicist and so much more to go over all this. Dane Wigington, absolutely on target about geoengineering, which more and more they're admitting is going on. So Stan Deo, thank you so much for taking time out with us on this Sunday evening.
Thank you for the invitation. I follow Dane's work, too. It's really quite exceptional. I've sent him an email here recently just to tell him how good I thought his research was, or is. You were mentioning about a biblical quote. Somebody sent me this yesterday in relation to what's happening with the hurricanes and the sun and stuff. Luke 21, 3 verses 25 through 28. You can read it, or I can read it for you, but basically it says that there's going to be seas, distress, waves in the seas roaring on the shores, distress in the sun, the moon, the stars, and the powers of heaven will be shaken, you know, like with probably.
Oh, I forgot. Comet. We've got record solar storms right now, too.
Oh, yeah. We've had 2 in the last 72 hours. One at a 8.2 occurred today and a 9.3 yesterday. And the spot that generated those is going to rotate around the sun in its normal rotation period of 28 days, but we're going to see it become Earth-effective or Earth-directed on the 30th of September through the 2nd of October. So people could be watching that to see what happens again. If we get a direct burst from the sun, it'll be like a halo coming at us of charged particles. It's called a coronal mass ejection. That could disrupt a lot of our electronics. Certainly, we expect some of the satellite communication.
In fact, a lot of folks are saying, even though it was pointed away from us, there's so much coming off from other ejections that aren't as big. That's why North Korea didn't test this ICBM.
Well, perhaps, you know, as I say, the guidance systems, the GPS monitoring system that we have up in geosynchronous orbits are compromised by this to a degree. Most of them have been hardened, but they do warn you at NOAA and NASA that there might be some interruption of these things. And when you get that kind of an ejection, to be cautious of your GPS guidance systems, even in your car.
So what do you make of all this? Because we know they're trying to control the weather, but just like the Manhattan Project, they're keeping it quasi-secret. But now they're suddenly admitting a lot of it. And then you've got all these increased storms. I mean, you're a smart guy. You worked in black projects. We don't mean poor black neighborhoods. You worked in secret projects, Stan Deo. What do you think's really going on here?
Well, look, in 1972, the U.S. government started drafting agreements with Russia to limit weather warfare, military uses of weather warfare. And it took them till 1978, 6 years, to get the stuff approved to the Senate. And that was, 30, 45 years ago. And I saw that you had something on your website, you were showing it, about what you can read at the government sites about weather warfare.
Absolutely. So in fact, they started it in 72, as you said, at Russia's insistence, because they knew we were doing it. They were doing it, too. Yep. In 78, they ratified it. Other countries ratified it. It is global law. The Department of Defense admitted their earthquake, tectonic, and weather weapon program by the Secretary of Defense in the U.S. Department of Defense press release. That was in 1997, April 28th. I've got that on screen. I mean, what's crazy is they admit it all to academics, but then tell us it's not happening. But we can also show folks the UN treaty. Keep going, Stan.
Okay. Well, the thing is, back then when they were designing the treaty and then eventually ratifying it, they were using stuff, say, in Russia, of spreading black hole dust about an inch thick over the snow in Siberia to modify how much heat was absorbed into the land there and thus affect the long-range weather forecasts or patterns over Alaska and northern United States and Canada. That was a very simple form of it. But as you know, Dr. Teller apply patents to put particulates like barium and various other metal powders in the atmosphere to either reflect or absorb energy from the sun. At that time, it was obvious to us that the sun was the major driver to global heating, not just warming, heating. And this has occurred in our past geological record so many times, it's not funny. Long before humans were on the Earth with manufacturing complexes creating the heat they were talking about now. So this is not due to human effort, as you were saying. I agree. Of course, as you said, they're going to blame Trump for everything, but he's doing the right thing and telling the truth about what really is causing this global heating. And it's not totally being controlled by the Illuminists. Certainly, the technology does exist for steering huge hurricanes and tornadoes once they start, but it's not always easy for one power to start a hurricane because the huge amount of energy we're talking about, like 100,000 H-bombs, it's so big that we don't have the power to direct at it, but we can take something that starts and help it move into an area of warming in the sea that will then accelerate it.
Put some English on it, like the sun rams the ball, the cue ball, but then we can kind of blow on it, maybe make it change course.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, we've known for, several decades, probably four decades at least, that you can drop powdered dry ice from an aircraft above a hurricane on one side and cause it to rain and to drop a lot of its energy into the ocean and then kind of peter out and not be as...
Well, that's what Ben Livingston, the father of weather weapons, it's indisputed, said. He said with 15 aircraft, he can make it dump its water in the ocean.
Right. Yeah. I mean, why don't we do this? I mean, why didn't we do it now?
So why do you think? Because it's the 1978 treaty, or why?
I wonder if it's conflict with President Trump's administration by the invisible government. I wonder if they could have done it, but they're doing it to put pressure on him. I mean, this is two hurricanes back-to-back. We're still cleaning up the other one.
And two now more. Two more are coming.
Yep, absolutely.
But let's stay right there because, well, it's certainly backfiring on them because Harvey brought us together in the middle of that race war they were pushing. So thank God Texans were so loving, including a lot of black folks saving white people and vice versa, which is beautiful. Stan Deo is an amazing researcher. Two more segments with him. Then Dane Wigington. I keep saying Wigington. It's Wigington. Geoengineeringwatch.org is going to be joining us with big new findings. Stay with us.
You're listening to The Antidote for Fake News. It's Alex Jones.
Sometimes I feel like... Speaking of fake news, since I mentioned it earlier, we might as well play it. Remember Alec Baldwin, when they have him playing the part of the president, aliens have attacked, and he's playing the part of Trump, and he goes, look at these people, they're black, they're not humans, they're aliens, they're illegal aliens. You can't see it on talk radio I'm describing. He's pointing at black people in the U.S. Army and saying, Alex Jones told me black people are bad. I mean, this is what they're doing on seven comedy shows and other programs like, Homeland, where the whole character running fake news and doing horrible things and staging terror attacks is me. And they say it's supposed to be me. And then now they got a whole new show on Comedy Central on top of all the others. And I'm not just bringing myself into this. They're scared of one thing. You, the listeners. They know I get people on like Stan Deo. They know I get Ron Paul on. They know I get Nigel Farage on. They know I'm one of the only guys that can get Matt Drudge on. They know that thinkers are listening. They know Trump listens. They know Putin listens. And it's not that I'm even that smart. I just ring the alarm bell and built a platform to cover real stuff where they're saying that they've got earthquake weapons. Secretary of Defense William Cohen, I'm going to read this to you in a moment, but I'm just saying, remember, it's not about defending me. It's about defending you. They have chosen me to be the symbol of the resistance along with Trump and then try to destroy me. But not my actual body. Create a fake Alex Jones, say horrible racist stuff out of its mouth, but hide behind, oh, it's just comedy. And then I get attacked and my family gets spit upon on the street. I get coffee dumped on my head by the drones. It's a minority of people of every race, color, and creed, but they've been brainwashed. So we're going to talk about the big earthquake that hit Mexico, Stan Deo's predictions and projections on that, because he's one of the top guys. But first, here's that clip. Just to show how 6 months ago they signaled this assault, and now it's here. Here it is.
Sir, where are you getting this information?
From a very reputable source.
What, the FBI, the CIA?
InfoWars, it's a radio show hosted by Alex Jones.
Sir, where are you getting this information?
From a very reputable
Again,
source.
And right before that, he's pointing at black people saying they're not human. And he got that from Alex Jones. So I'm very proud of this. I wanted to fight him. I wanted to raise the alarm. I wanted to change things. I never thought I'd be singled out as, you know, there's Trump here, and then there's me right here. And then it's everybody else below that. I don't want to be the big kahuna. Okay, they're trying to destroy Stephen Bannon, too, because they see him right up there, and Matt Drudge. The point is, what is it, Stan Zayo, they're so scared of? Why have they chosen me? Because you're a smart guy. I don't want to talk about myself here, but it's really getting crazy.
Why did they pick on you? It's probably because you're telling the truth. I've been amazed by what you've been able to get away with. We've talked about it behind the scenes and on the phone and stuff, but to be able to get it out there and to have the President of the United States listen is a marvelous thing. I tell you, I'm so glad that he's there, but I'm also sad that he's being picked on with so many things at once. It must be, you know, driving him crazy up there, trying to handle all these emergencies politically, geophysically, you know, astronomically. What a challenge. I hope he makes it.
It is crazy. I think that's the secret wasn't what I did. It's all the guests here, and it's our audience getting the news out and going to the Trump rallies and getting him all the stuff, because he'd heard the show before and he'd been on years ago. But it's true that when he sneaks off, he looks at InfoWars, he looks at Breitbart, mm-hmm. He looks at Drudge. I mean, he didn't even know Arpaio was being sent to prison until he learned about it on Drudge from one of our articles. And then now they're flipping out about that. It just shows when you can get the info to him, it really has an effect.
That's the trick, is to be able to get through the wall built around him, you know, because he is all filtered. And if you can't get to him, then you go through social media and hopefully he'll pick it up with the tweets and stuff that come from that.
And that's why everybody's got a hammer at Trump, because they try to block all his supportive tweets below, but he now knows, because somebody told him on the phone, to dig down deep into there, and that's what's happening as well. Because I talked to the fellow that did talk to Trump months ago and explained, he goes, yeah, why I don't ever see all the popular and fun stuff and the funny things, and he loved reading all the stuff. He used to love the mail coming, too. You still get to him that way. They're trying to divert that, but I don't want to go off into Trump. It's just amazing to see how they try to compartmentalize us, and now they're compartmentalizing the president. And they bragged when he first got elected. They said, we're going to feed him false intelligence. We're going to totally sequester him. We're going to surround him. And they've done it.
They have. But anyway, we need to encourage him any way we can in the public media, social media. I hope he gets to hear that so that he's encouraged and not just totally depressed by all the people.
Absolutely. 93 plus dead because it's growing in Mexico. I don't want to belittle new numbers coming out. I think it's even higher than that. One of the biggest, the biggest quake ever recorded, 8.1, 8.3. They're changing the numbers. What happened there, Stan?
Hey, I was watching that one. Just a kind of a comical note here. That's right near Oaxaca, where they grow all the agave plants to make my tequila, and I was really worried.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Now, seriously though, that is on a fault line called the Imperial Fault Line, going up into Southern California. And that goes into the Salton Sea area. We think it's going to connect up shortly under a little lake there with the San Andreas Fault. But the San Andreas Fault is not an orphan. There are a lot of parallel faults to it. And I'm looking now every day at minor quakes, you know, not major, minors, along the lower San Andreas, right where just beneath Los Angeles at Costa Mesa. If we start seeing more of these little earthquakes pop, then I'm thinking we may see a Richter 6 to 7 down there, just like USGS is forecasting. They said probability is about 50 to 70% in the next 30 years sometime that we'll have that 6.5, 6.7 earthquake there, which may trigger other earthquakes parallel to it in the Costa Mesa region. But seeing all these, the flurry of them, the swarm of them up in Idaho at Soda Springs, is really kind of a puzzle, because that's part of where Yellowstone started in its initial eruption, you know, by conventional wisdom over 1.2 million years ago. And it's part of the oldest part of the caldera, which hasn't been active, but now it is looking like on the edge of it, it's becoming active. And we know that Yellowstone is being monitored by the government. I've personally talked to the geologists there. And, you know, they can't go on record because they're all sworn to secrets inside the little paper during Obama's reign. But there are a number of super-sensitive seismometers they put in around Yellowstone and are monitoring them constantly down in Utah at the new computer center to keep an eye on the magma beneath. You've read, I'm sure, in the last week to 10 days where NASA suggested they go down and, you know, pump water down there to cool off the magma as a possible way to defuse it. But, of course, you know, the logical arguments are if you do that, you don't know what's going to happen. You may actually cause a supermassive steam phreatic type eruption from Yellowstone because you can't control the fractures around the hole you make to get the water down. You know, there's just a number of other issues about
that. Well, here's the... Why is it all increasing right now? And I know from your research, I heard 10 years ago on Coast to Coast AM, it's now mainstream news that there are many years, how many years overdue for a big earthquake in Southern California? And then suddenly now even the LA Times says, get ready. So what's happening there?
Well, I think, you know, if I were in charge of the government and had this information, I knew it was going to happen, say, within 5 years or a year, whatever, I wouldn't just come out and blurt it out in the mainstream and say, okay, it's going to happen. Good luck. We can't handle you. We've got too many other emergencies right now. But, you know, get prepared. It would cause, you know, anarchy. And, you know, so I wouldn't do that. I would let the information sift out as, well, in the next 30 years, it looks like it's going to be an earthquake of such and such in California, and people might be well advised to get preparations made to keep a lid on the panic and the anarchy that could result. I mean, look at what's happened down in Florida over a hurricane that hadn't even hit yet, and they said, okay, we want you to evacuate the state. Well, immediately, Holly was plotting all the gas stations that were out of gas immediately.
People couldn't evacuate because the highways were clogged, the gas was out. It shows that with these big mega cities, there is no tenable plan. So what does that mean what happens when a big quake hits something like Southern California?
Well, people should get prepared now. They should have been prepared even before this with emergency rations, water, and whatever. Whether it's the earthquake or some local event, like today out in front of our house, a water main burst, and we didn't have water here. But, of course, we had emergency water prep in our home. Holly had that written about in the book. And we were quite comfortable and weren't inconvenienced. But if we hadn't done that, we'd have been kind of hanging out there waiting for them to get the water back.
But imagine cascading events like this. As we're seeing, many countries now can't keep up. Even former industrialized nations are starting to crumble and have problems. What's happening?
There are a number of issues, and I think the change in the weather, climate, whether it's man-made or the sun, I think it's the sun primarily, this is hitting our food supplies, and which hits the economy, and it's also radiating us when we have these CMEs with different types of radiation, and it makes people irritable, crankier. And we can see it when we go to the grocery store occasionally.
So I just asked the question. The Romans, the Japanese all noticed that during these times, people would get more irritable. They didn't know why when storms were associated with it. Let's talk about that animal psychology straight all ahead. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, with Stan Deo, standeo.com. And then we've got one of the top researchers coming on about geoengineering. Did they manipulate this hurricane? And if they have technologies that could have killed it, why aren't they doing that? As Stan Deo asked, please tell folks to tune in. It's key to do that. Seems like time's speeding up. We know technology is.
This is our land.
And then I think about people like Stan Deo.
These are our people.
I've been listening to for 20 years.
The workers. The strike.
And like, a year ago by before he's back on. I think it was like yesterday. It's like 1,000 years ago. And that's why we've got a big board in there now where you write all these great guest names on. so that we think about him. I want to get this guy on every week, not every year. We'll be back after this intro and let him have some final comments.
Is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
I've met so many amazing people. You can pull his name up. He was a famous British economist, I mean, top of the government back in the 80s and stuff. And I ran into him covering Bilderberg in Canada. Didn't even know how famous he was. And he just said, the answer to 1984, Alex, is 1776. And he was a mathematician. But he said that's a social term, like 1776 will override 1984, the tyranny. Stan, please come back this week with us and then try to come on at least once a week, once a month. I'm launching all these new shows. I'd love to get you on a couple days a week just to commentate, cover whatever you want, long form without me interrupting, which, you know, because you're such a nice guy. We only got like 4 minutes left. Your points, okay. Things you want to add, things that are going on, things that are happening, things you want to impart to people.
Well, the main thing in relation to the weather is hurricanes have, they're a low-pressure area, and when they move over land, they start to slow down. But if they move over a known fault line that is already stressed and ready to release, it has been documented that the earthquake will occur as the low-pressure area causes a heave in the surface and have the earthquake. This one is going to peter out over Tennessee near the New Madrid zone. I don't see a fault line listed there by USGS, but I'm watching that area for lubrication from the rain and from the lifting of the surface.
What about Katia? That hurricane was right over where the Mexican quake happened.
Interesting, wasn't it? I think that the two, actually, if you look at the same thing you're looking at there, that null wind map, and you plug in the thermal temperature, you know, the sea temperatures over the globe and the wind, you'll see that from Mexico, where that earthquake occurred, and where the hurricane occurred, all the way up to Florida, is bright purple, which is extreme heat. And the same kind of pattern exists on the west side of the Pacific over in Japan, where they've just now had another earthquake. See that?
I know, I do. It's incredible. So it's all interconnected.
Yes.
Wow. Just politically, what would you call the state the world's in right now?
Well, politically and biblically, I'd say we're approaching the tribulation period that the prophets speak of in the Bible because of the threat to our economy, you know, global collapse economy, geophysical events in the weather, earthquakes, a threatened asteroid impact. And by the way, on the 12th of October this year, you can see it on my show images page, I've got a plot there telling you about an asteroid that's going to come within the orbits of 250 of our geosynchronous satellites that control GPS and communications.
And by the way, Drudge Report tweeted that from NASA and Twitter blocked it.
You're joking.
No. Promise me you'll come back for an hour this week.
Okay, done deal. Just tell me when.
Well, I want you to get into all this. And I'm not going to ask the questions because you're so smart. I'm serious. Because you're nice and sit back like the good, you know, good guy and let me ask questions. I want you to go wherever Stan Dale wants to on the asteroids. The earth changes, but I mean, regardless, if the Bible isn't true, the globalists are sure using it as a handbook to take over. The mark of the beast, the persecution of Christians, kicking them off Amazon, kicking them off Google. I mean, it's mainline focus on the family and stuff getting attacked. I mean, they're really coming after people.
Can you believe we're actually seeing this? I mean, it just came on so suddenly that, you know, even though we expect it from biblical prophecy, I mean, I'm astounded. They're just hating us.
Well, Trump sped it up, and I want to ask you this week when you come on, who is Trump in biblical prophecy?
Good question. We'll think about that.
All right, StanDeo.com. Stan Deo, thank you. Wow. Why is that guy? I just think, like, these guests are so good, and then like a year goes by since he's been on. You're going to start hearing more of him, I promise. That's why we're going 20 hours live. We're up to 10 hours live in the last 2 months, like I promised. We're going up to 20 hours live in the next 6 months. Stay with us.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Take my life on, and I'll take this time.
normally do the Sunday show, 4 to 6 p.m. Weekdays, my broadcast, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central. But just in the last month, we've gone 10 hours a day live with the great David Knight, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. before I come on weekdays with InfoWars Live. Yours truly, Alex Jones. Then after that, Owen Schroer for 3 hours with the War Room. It's a big roundtable discussion. And I intend to go 20 hours a day live by the middle of next year. We may even do it sooner, but we're lining up all the talent, all the people, because InfoWars has got to do more. We're really affecting things. Global leaders are listening. Big corporations are listening. We're decompartmentalizing things. You had, of course, the big Manhattan Project back in the early 1940s. They kept it secret. Hundreds of thousands of people directly involved, 2 million involved supporting it. And they kept the whole thing secret until they dropped A-bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Well, weather modification globally has been kept secret the same way. And there's other programs of human-animal hybrids, genetic engineering, pharmacological crops that's actually in the MIT literature, but not given attention. Now, our next guest, who I've interviewed many, many years ago, probably 50 times, Dane Wigington, is an amazing researcher, geoengineering, watch.org, an engineer. I'm not going to get into all the big things he's been involved in. But when he learned about this over a decade ago, he dedicated himself, despite the fact he was running big solar farms around the country and very successful guy, because he realized it was so big. And now he's gotten closer to the bottom of the rabbit hole than probably anybody out there. But more and more they admit, oh, the military is doing chemical cleanup and mosquito spraying and helping with the storms, cloud seeding. And, oh, there's some drills going on. And we have the Secretary of Defense, William Cohen, back in 1997 in a press briefing. Back then it was only text at the Pentagon. Here it is on screen for radio listeners. You can just go to U.S. Department of Defense, type in DOD news briefing, Secretary of Defense William S. Cohen, presenter, Secretary of Defense William S. Cohen, April 28th, 1997. Here's the CIA breakdown as well, admitting last year weather modification programs. There's the Atlantic Monthly. There's the Central Intelligence Agency admitting they're expanding their covert weather control, Council on Foreign Relations, developing an international framework for geoengineering. But we have the 1978 treaty that began in 1972 in negotiations with Russia. So we're talking about something real. But they want to keep it academic while they do it, calling all that testing. They don't want to have a real debate, a real discussion about what they're really doing. But the incredible scientists, researchers at geoengineeringwatch.org, which is the number one compendium of research, you could get lost there. I tried to make a film called Dark Skies before they ever had a movie called that, and I just fell down a rabbit hole. It was all so admitted, but all academic, that I couldn't even believe how to respond. And I realized what Dane was saying, Wigington is right, that don't use the term chemtrail that just came out of the public noticing it. Go to the Nobel Prizes, go to the admissions, go to the geoengineering, go to the high altitude aerosol spraying, go to these admitted programs. So we've got him for this segment, the next, to condense this down. I really appreciate him coming on. Let's go over it.
Good to have you. Good to be back, Alex. And, you know, as you correctly stated in our portion this morning, that the climate engineering particulates are trapping more heat than they deflect. And our goal at geoengineeringwatch.org is to present solid data. And Alex, I hope that we can unite the tribes, if you will, in regard to certain common mantras, that there can't be, again, as I stated earlier in the first segment this morning, can't be any legitimate discussion about the state of the climate without including the climate engineering issue. So we have the entire environmentalist community, the climate science community, omitting the single greatest disrupting factor of all, not the only disrupting factor, but the single greatest. So if we could unite the tribes, if you will, in the common mantra that none of us on any side of the fence, no one can have a legitimate discussion about the state of the climate without first and foremost including climate engineering.
Absolutely, because Russia and China and Dubai, they all admit they've got antenna arrays doing it. I mean, they've got chemical systems spraying, and it's all public in their countries. Here they just say it's not going on, but it turns out we pioneered it all.
That's exactly right. And if people want to see just how documented this is, we have a report, a Senate report on geoengineeringwatch.org. It's a 750-page congressional document from 1978. You can look at the document in its entirety if you search Massive Senate Document Geoengineering. And on that document, it states clearly that normally opposing or adversarial governments will cooperate on the climate engineering issue because of the cross-border ramifications. So there you have conclusive proof that all the major powers, whatever their external conflicts appear to be that's publicized, they are absolutely colluding and cooperating on the climate engineering issue, because obviously it affects the entire climate system. So we have quite a global cabal.
And that's what's amazing under the congressional report that then becomes the UN treaty, is that they admit, hey, we all want to do this, so we all agree we're going to work with each other on it.
Exactly. And they all have their own agendas and objectives with these programs, but they're absolutely all colluding.
So how advanced is it? I mean, I know you go to the geoengineering summits, you know, where they are there, you know, but a lot of it's classified. I mean, how far along is it?
Well, the last international conference I went to and confronted the most recognized geoengineer on the planet, David Keith. And your listeners can look at this confrontation. I think they would find it quite valuable if they search Dane Wigginton, David Keith. They'll see me confronting David Keith after listening to a 3.5-hour symposium of him proposing the annual objective of dumping 20 million tons of aluminum nanoparticulates into the atmosphere. My question to Dr. Keith was, had any studies been done whatsoever, the toxicological effects, human health effects? And after him trying to dodge the question by stating that there's a lot of aerosols in the atmosphere already, so a bit more won't make a difference. But I reconfronted him that those aerosols aren't aluminum. Had he studied aluminum? And he stated on the record that they had done no studies of the human toxicological effects. And he said, quote, I'm quoting, he said, could terrible things happen tomorrow? We don't know. What kind of a statement is that from a quote unquote scientist? And I was banned from the subsequent conferences after that. For
Let's be clear. I hadn't seen that video in years. I'm glad you reminded me of that. I'm on your site. I see the text of it. Well, how do we search YouTube or whatever to find that video? I want to play that clip when we come back, because that's so powerful that then, because you actually went, hey, aluminum causes brain damage. And he said, oh, there's already lots of toxic waste. It's like saying, you know, five guys already raped your wife, so how about 100? Or, you know, we already shot you once, how about 3 more bullets?
Yeah, that's the right line of thought for him. If you search Dane Wigginton, David Keith, Geoengineering Watch, you'll find that short clip. No question.
So continue, because people pay attention during a hurricane. They want to make it about carbon taxes, pay world government, you know, to fix this. It's not going to fix it to shut down our plants and move into Mexico. I know we're affecting the climate. The point is, there's a bunch of secret programs. So how do I make real decisions for my family when I don't know, when it's all hidden under a national security state?
Well, first, again, if we can unite the tribes on every side of the fence with this common understanding that you can't discuss the climate without discussing climate engineering. So again, whatever person's point of view, that has to be the front line of the conversation. So let's look at Irma that just came from so far away, and they knew the trajectory 7 days ahead of time. How did they know? And interesting that Cuba got annihilated, and the relationship between the U.S. and Cuba has deteriorated rapidly. So Cuba just got the full brunt of a parallel track right along the shoreline, did maximum damage to Cuba. Why did the hurricane then do a 90-degree turn? And the high pressure zone, there's several ways of maneuvering the cyclones with radio frequency microwave transmissions. You have the large transmitters like HARP, Alex. I know you know what that is. You have several dozen large ground-based facilities like HARP around the globe, and they can create and do create high pressure domes, just like the ridiculously resilient ridge that's frying the U.S. West right now, Alex. That's what happened over the Gulf of Mexico that forced Irma to make a right-hand turn and move up along the western side of Florida. On the ground, you have transmitters, and we'll publish an article on this probably tomorrow, a video that shows the transmissions of the ground-based transmitters that then take over and can help to steer the hurricane from the ground. So the bottom line is this. Historical data proves we have 70 years of climate intervention. You know what's going on.
All right, stay there, and I've got mainline Senate reports. Cloud ionization, electric rainmaking, and laser-guided weather modification. This is even in mainstream newspapers that the Arab countries don't hide this. They're proud of it. They're turning the desert green with antennas that are ionizing and creating particulate for rain. I want to explain how that happens.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance. Rallying patriots worldwide. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
So here's what's happening. I'm just a lay researcher that reads government documents, public stuff, and they admit global weather treaties, plans to reduce world population, post-industrial world, race-specific bioweapons. I've got Department of Defense press briefings admitting it from 1997. I've got UN treaties. They're all on Infowars.com. And then I talk to all the scientists, astrophysicists, meteorologists. They say, listen, the geoengineering that's going on is what you do to fry the planet, poison the soil, and kill people. So what is omnicide? What is planetary death? And what's the evidence showing that that's the direction they're going in? Again, we've got Dane Wigington of geoengineeringwatch.org, an amazing researcher I've known for over 10 years. Clearly, this is happening. The evidence shows it. What is it? What's behind it? We've got 10 minutes left. Just spill your guts. Tell folks what they need to know about this omnicide.
Omnicide would express the disintegration of the entire web of life on the planet, and that is absolutely the track we're on. We can debate all the various causes, but if we look at this mathematically speaking, the single greatest assault against the web of life today is climate engineering. And Alex, if I could plug this into something you said earlier, in our first segment about the climate engineering particulates trapping more heat than they deflect, which is exactly correct. So if we look at the stated purpose of climate engineering, primary stated purpose, solar radiation management to block some of the sun's incoming thermal radiation, when all available data makes clear that they are actually fueling the disintegration of the climate and the warming at the same time by trapping more heat than they deflect, destroying the ozone layer, disrupting the hydrological cycle, single greatest factor with the massive forest burn downs, contrary to what the environmental groups would tell us, is not just anthropogenic factors as a whole. It's climate engineering, because climate engineering poisons the soils, shreds the ozone layer, more UV exposure, more dry lightning. We have an incendiary dust on the foliage. I could go on and on. So we have major factors that are most directly related to climate engineering, and that all fuels the feedback mechanisms that are disintegrating the climate system, which feeds into the omnicide that's occurring right now. So Alex, let's look at the logic behind this. Solar radiation management to give the Earth a higher albedo, a higher reflectivity. Let's take Venus in comparison. If this was the only a method by which you could actually cool the planet, if that's their goal, let's look at Venus. Venus's albedo is 2.5 times that of planet Earth.
Al Gore told us 20 years ago we're going to become Venus. Then the scientists are doing just what you do to turn us into that.
Well, it's feeding Venus syndrome. Geoengineering is fueling Venus syndrome. We have articles in Geoengineering Watch. Anybody who wants to search geoengineeringwatch.org and then plug in whatever title they want to find, they should find an article about it. So back to Venus. Venus is 2.5 times more reflective than Earth, and it's 900 degrees on the ground. Obviously, it's not just a reflective atmosphere that keeps a planet in a mode where it supports life. And Venus, all things being equal, and many people don't know this, Alex, Venus would be 20 to 25 degrees warmer than Earth, not 900 degrees. It underwent a runaway greenhouse, and that reflective atmosphere didn't help much. So we're back to climate engineering, uniting the tribes on all sides of the fence. Climate engineering will be the biggest nail in our collective coffins if it continues.
I'm not even a scientist, but they admit that what they're doing with geoengineering causes the light to go through but stay and not bounce back out. And it's actually causing this, and the soils are full of aluminum, and all this is happening. Are these mad scientists? What's wrong with them?
Well, again, you have in any form of human activity that affects the energy balance of the planet is a form of geoengineering, but the intentional climate intervention programs being mathematically the greatest disrupting factor of all. And quite simply, this is human insanity at its epitome, Alex. And not only is it destroying the biosphere, the Earth's life support systems, it's toxifying every breath we take, toxifying soils. And I encourage your listeners, we don't ask anybody to believe anything we say at geoengineeringwatch.org. We ask you to examine the data, our data from our NASA engineer that works with us. And Alex, in regard to Mr. Trump, something I thought you should know about this, and let's hope that, you know, there's some different course of action that we see already. One of the Air Force generals that works directly with us at geoengineeringwatch.org, he's a retired major general, had Mr. Trump's top campaign people and Mr. Carson's top campaign people in his home January 2016. On a meeting strictly about geoengineering, he supplied data that was given to him by geoengineeringwatch.org. So we know they know. There's no question about that. Unfortunately, right now, what we see is a ramping up of these programs, not a scaling back. And over the oceans is where a lot of people don't know how much climate engineering is going on. And we look at NASA imagery, which I examine every day from all over the globe. The amount of spraying going on over our oceans, Alex, is unimaginable.
Well, this is Trump's blind spot. He loves America so much, he thinks the military is America. And sure, the average person in the military is sacrificing. They're some of our best people, in my experience. I love veterans. But some of these generals are really whacked out. Some of them are really great people, like the one you're talking about. And they're fighting hard. But, yeah, he just lets them do whatever they want. It's well known. He goes to the CIA, he says, you're great, do whatever you want. He goes to the Department of Energy, do whatever you want if it helps America. He really believes in the scientists and people. He doesn't like bankers and bureaucrats and people, but he does tend to just believe in whiz kid stuff and kind of just sign stuff over.
I think you and I would agree. There's a lot of great people in the U.S. military, and they're being told that these operations are some planetary saving measure, and that couldn't be further from the truth.
By the way, it shows how deep, that's what I've been told by generals and people currently in, is they're told they're saving the ozone, but the science shows it's killing it. And let's go back then. This is important because it's the same thing they do with this compartmentalization. They have kids' textbooks saying they're spraying sunscreen. So they admit to children the geoengineering's happening, and Bill Gates is like a little videos for kids at school, but then they tell us as adults, don't discuss it, it's not happening.
Well, here's the bottom line. We have to get this issue to light immediately, and everyone can play their part in that if they share credible data. And as I stated earlier,
I agree. It's all on your site. So let me ask you this. So you're talking to the high-level military. They're being told this is an earth-saving event.
They are. And this is where, again, that's really
critical. Well, I was told by a high-level operative, they were told when it started 20 years ago, they believe a global ice age was going to begin by 2020. And so they, as if you could predict it, but it is time, the next couple hundred years probably, to start, that they're stopping global cooling.
Well, the official science data would say exactly the opposite. They're trying to slow a runaway greenhouse effect, and the actual data from the ground would say they're fueling that effect, not stopping it. They're, as you correctly stated in the first segment, they're trapping more heat than they deflect, destroying the ozone layer and so forth. So back to the ozone layer. Aside from any other environmental discussion, if we had no other environmental problems, the ozone layer alone, if it collapses, current data indicates that could occur and will occur on the current trajectory in 4 to 8 years. Game over. All throughout your life. Over. So again, the readings we're getting right now from the official sources are all completely fictitious. They have no bearing in reality. They don't measure any UV radiation below 300 nanometers, and the DNA damaging bands of UVC are below that. So you can't find what you're not looking for, Alex. We're simply not being told that we're being bathed in dangerous UV radiation, lethal UV radiation right now.
And by the way, I don't just believe you. We had it up earlier. We have the earthquake monitors. We have all the government data. I went and when you said that today, I saw it a few years ago. I went and looked. They admit UV is the highest ever recorded. So do 5 more minutes with us. I want to look specifically with you about what ozone collapse would look like, because we know it's not just holes. It is being depleted. And as you said, it's not what's in our spray bottles. What's happening? Why is it being depleted so fast? Because we know UV's up all over the planet. What's going on? Skin cancer is way up. Why is this happening? We'll be back, folks. Stay with us.
Defending the Republic from enemies foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
So, Hurricane Irma gets us focused on the fact that we've got earthquakes, we've got storms, we've got solar storms that are directly connected to all this. We've got governments admittedly obsessed with trying to control the weather and manipulate it. And then we have discussions about it. They attack us despite all the stacks of their own admissions of it. So it's up to the public to admit this is going on. But let's look at the ozone layer. Let's look at the fact that more UV radiation is admittedly coming through. Dane Wigington of geoengineeringwatch.org. Let's break down what collapse of the ozone layer could look like, because it's already starting to happen, as you said, the next 4 to 6 years.
It's what it would look like, and we already see that. In regard to, let's take insect populations, for example, Alex. In Northern California, we work directly with retired Forest Service biologists. We've seen a 90% decline, 90% in aquatic and terrestrial insect populations in the last 10 years. This is from the heavy metal contamination and the UV, 90%. If the insects die, how long are we going to be around? In regard to the military-industrial complex propensity to keep doubling down on everything they do. So the more they spray, the more damage they do, the more ozone destruction they cause, the more they feel they have to spray to provide a shield from the destruction that was caused by what they were doing in the first place. So this is the mentality we're dealing with. And now, Alex, on the earlier segment, I mentioned to you that the atmosphere is filling with methane. That's something that we all need to discuss. It's not cow flatulence. It's massive methane deposits that are thawing, freezing, and entering the atmosphere, covering the planet like a layer of gas. So what's the military-industrial complex response to that? Project Lucy and Project Alamo, the attempt to use microwave transmissions with opposing frequencies to try to degrade some of that methane in the atmosphere with consequences unknown, further destroying the ozone layer. So this is a race toward, again, total global omnicide. And so many of these roads lead right back to climate engineering.
Continue to break this down.
Well, again, on the current path, if we don't deal with this issue first and foremost, we'll have a planet that doesn't support life much longer. It's already waning rapidly. So we're back to what's our priority? What's our obvious priority? And people from every side of the fence, while they're arguing about the state of the climate, why wouldn't we unite on a common cause, unite the tribes on a common cause of exposing climate engineering? Because, again, you can't have any discussion about the climate without dealing with this issue first. So I would argue that we have to all pull this load together and get this issue to the light of day, or very soon we'll have nothing left to salvage, Alex. That's a mathematical fact.
What's wrong with the technocracy that's doing this?
Well, I would compare it to a cancer, Alex, and I have many times. Does a cancer intend to kill its host? No, it intends to proliferate at any cost, and the host eventually dies. So we have all these companies, Boeing, Lockheed Martin, all invested in this technology. We have the disaster capitalists like Monsanto that's reaping, as you correctly stated earlier, again, genetically modified seeds, aluminum-resistant, UV-resistant seeds, abiotic stress-resistant seeds, all capitalizing on the decimation being caused, but at the same time, the ship's going down by the day. So this is comparable to pirates on a sinking ship loading their pockets with loot. How far are they going to get? Not very far. We're all going down in the same ship. So the bottom line is, above all other issues, we must deal with this issue. And if we don't, we're on a very, very limited time horizon. Some of the products I heard in the break that you sell and market, I would argue, not to put a plug in for InfoWars, but the storable foods and so forth, essential right now. If you can't eat it or you can't drink it, it's not going to be worth much to you in the very near future. So those are very important items that people should think seriously about while they're also at the same time trying to help us sound the alarm. That's so critical on this issue. We all have to pull this weight.
Dane Wigington, it's been too long since you've been on your site. I could spend years on it. Great job, you and the scientists, what you're doing. Let's talk again very soon. Thank you, sir.
Anytime.
Since we have that perspective, which is an important angle, let's go to a Dr. William Soon, Harvard geophysicist and astrophysicist, on what's happening with the sun's effect on the Earth that the globalists are trying to manipulate but can't fully control, as Stan Deo earlier agreed. Here it is.
Tell us a little bit about that. Professor Willie Soon is a solar scientist, an astrophysicist, and a researcher out of Harvard, and he's very well skilled and knowledge into solar cycles. And so we're going to be joined by Dr. Willie, and he's going to be able to really kind of get deep in there and explain to us how the sun actually has a bigger impact on our environment than us as man, which it's such common sense. I mean, it really is common sense. And it's kind of, we're trying to dispel the hysteria out there that somehow if we don't do A, B, C, and D and let these scientists dictate policy, then we are going to have the end of the world happen. So really and truly, that's why it's so important that we have Professor Willie Soon come on and talk to us.
And by the way, I live in Salem, Massachusetts, so we are very familiar with such well-known phenomenon called witch burning. Indeed, those are during the time where all this, you know, very, very sad situation where they're having some kind of bad weather, and where people decided to prosecute a lot of these so-called women that went crazy, and, you know, the witches, they call them, and for brewing up this bad weather. I mean, it seems to me, even by 21st century, things doesn't change as much for those who insist that carbon dioxide, which is one of these, what you call minor greenhouse gas, that's a very important point to stress, minor simply because its effect is known to be very small, because a major greenhouse gas in the atmosphere or planet Earth is water vapor. I've been very fond of saying, if you want to study the effect of greenhouse effect on the Earth planet, all you need to do is study water vapor. That's it. That's all you need to do. That's why the sun argument is so convincing, because it does vary in a cyclical way. Not every 11 years, every 60 years or so, every 200 years, every 1,000 years, that sort of thing. We have seen those cycles. We have seen all of those cycles, actually, from actual data. This is why the argument is more and more convincing, as far as I can tell you, I mean, or even in any scientific open discussion or debate, you know. So this is indeed a very fruitful direction to go. And I have to tell you, all the money they spent the last 10 to 20 years, I mean, they barely give actually 5% to studying the sun in that sense. They spend 95% of those wasted money on computer climate model that is completely, is almost useless in my sense. Because all they do is just copying each other. In fact, the whole world now has about 30 climate models, each of them copying from each other. It's as if that they're doing some serious hard work, okay?
And we actually see some of the strongest hurricanes that we know about, certainly the one that has the most number of casualties on continental USA was the Galveston hurricane of 1900. There wasn't much man-made pollution at that point in time, but we can go even farther back to 1780, and that hurricane,
right.
the one in 1900, that killed about 12,000 people in the U.S.
That's right.
But then we have one that killed, I think it was about 30-some-odd thousand in 1780. It sunk most of the fleet of the French and the British in certain areas. It had a massive impact on history as to whether or not we were going to win that war or not. That was a direct result of that. And so we know that there were dozens of ships, tens of thousands of people that were lost at sea, that the ships were overturned. And the devastation as described makes people realize that that was one of, if not the strongest Atlantic hurricane that we've ever had. And that was in 1780. So we see these things happening cyclically. And there is no explanation that is going to explain this, that is focused strictly on recent additions to carbon dioxide that they say are increasing linearly as we're going along. We see something that is cyclical.
That's right. This is why science is all about numbers, too. I mean, the numbers for atmospheric carbon dioxide just doesn't add up. I mean, in fact, if I may, maybe it's a bad time to tell another joke. If those who really want to insist on carbon dioxide causing all the damages from Harvey and Irma, I think we should look for checks from Al Gore and John Kerry, Obama, and who else? I mean, DiCaprio. I mean, those guys should write a check.
That's one of the top astrophysicists on the planet from Harvard. Most scientists say this man-made global warming thing's a fraud. It's the sun, folks. 1,300,000 Earths fit inside of it. It's what makes us have the summer. It's what causes the hurricanes. It runs the whole show. It gives us sunburns. It does everything. But without it, we're dead. So I pray to Jesus, that's my God. But if I was an atheist, I'd worship the sun. We'll be right back. Thanks for all your support. We have big sales that end tomorrow at InfoWarsStore.com. On a lot of great products, be sure and take advantage of that 50% off on storable food, water filtration, 30% off, and more. Thanks for your support.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. It's Alex Jones.
Keep putting the sun up because that's what drives our weather. The globalists can try to manipulate it. They can try to control it. But they don't. It's the equivalent of 1.3 million Earths. 1,300,000 Earths. It's a giant thermonuclear explosion ongoing that's got such great mass. There's a lot of suns implode, they think, and make black holes. That its mass is so great that it just contains the explosion. What creates a black hole? A space-time warp where it's so huge it rips the dimensional firmament. And remember, equations knew this 200 years ago before they even found it, and then goes into another universe. Wow. We are alive in an incredible time, and there are elites. Let me say this is one of the most important things I've ever said. Listen to me carefully. I know you already know this innately. You're going to say, we already know that, Alex. But we need to understand this and talk about it. The globalists are the technocracy. They're the priest class. They're the scientists. And not all scientists are bad. Most scientists are great. But these are very greedy people that have a glimpse of all this, of AI and life extension and technology. And everything we've got today would be magic 100 years ago. It'd be unfathomable 5,000 years ago. Well, we've already gotten 90% of the way. There's not much further for us to go until we've got life extension, until technical immortality, until building whole new planets as an individual will be just like, we're made in the image of God. This is a big prospect. And there are people that are jealous who don't want you to have part of this. And that's the big takeaway, is that this is our embryonic, our larval form, and an advanced species like this that God's created is not going to be given the keys to the house, the car, and the company without a test. We don't just get hatched up on the ceiling in the garage like wasp. We've got to go through something in a big real-world simulation. Live fire. Like the old days with the Marines and the Army, they really shot bullets over you. A lot of times people got killed in every class. They had to get rid of that because political correctness, or now they just call it accidents. But only real live fire drills test people. And that's what this is. And every group knows this is the test. The big thing's coming. Happening now. Marco Island takes hit. West Coast, Florida, bullseye. Down to Cat 2, looters in Fort Lauderdale. I love how the police report that, then they say, Alex Jones and Rush Limbaugh and Matt Drudge are being racist, saying there's looters. Later, they arrest anybody that didn't white. I think Harvey showed our unity. I think this will show our unity as well. I've celebrated our unity. How do they counter that? Because it brings us together. Oh, Alex Jones is against unity. That's the big lie. Ladies and gentlemen, just know this. Hollywood means nothing. In closing, I want to hit these reports. Trump calls for tax reform, speed up in light of Hurricane Irma. Talks about how with Texas and Florida, the second and third most populous states, this is really causing a problem. And he knows, all the economists tell him, you don't cut taxes, the average person, your recovery is going to stall. That's why I like Trump. I'm not in league with Trump. It'd be great to go after him and get him off my back, but I can't because it's the truth. He's doing a good job. Then they bash him and say, oh, he sold out to the Democrats. The Republican blue bloods are blocking a Republican insurrection in the Freedom Caucus. Then the blue bloods try to manipulate the Freedom Caucus and say, see, he's selling you out to the Democrats. No, he tried to get your agenda of Obamacare repeal and tax cuts through. That's his agenda. And then the blue bloods killed it with the Democratic leadership. But all the Democrats want is power. So Trump doubles back because they want to shut down the economy for 3 months, blame it on Trump, have Standard & Poor's and Moody's and Barron's lower our rating, which has been planned, have a new depression, say it's the repeat of 1929 with the smooth haulings and all the rest of it. And Trump's not going that direction. So he says, okay, I'll get the hurricane relief for Texas, and we know we're going to need it for Florida, and I'll go ahead and do your deal, because he didn't create the big debt. He didn't create the time bomb. What kills it's tax cuts and then flattening out spending. He'd already gotten the national debt for the first time in 25 years to go down a little bit. Just with the exuberance, just cutting the regulations, just cutting the bureaucracy, just promises of tax cuts. He already had us back there, and the globalists go, no, we don't want the prosperity system. We want to pick and choose. We want to end Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. We don't want small business owners. We don't want people owning their own houses. We don't want an upward mobility group. We want to go with the third world's feudal serf model. It's not a third world model. It's a Roman or a British Empire, a colonial model that Africa and Latin America and much of Asia never got out of. America got out for just a second. We're right back in the news. And Trump is bringing you Americana. That's why they hate him so bad. Yeah, you see Schumer all happy, delightful. Oh, and the Democrats keep attacking him. Oh, look, base, turn away from him. You know, he was stuck between the Republicans and the Democrats blocking him. They were about to blame him for the economy imploding. He wasn't about to do it with the midst of these hurricanes. He wants that wave of exuberance to continue and prosperity to defeat them. It's like the rays of the sun making plants grow. So we'll make it through this hurricane. We can't make it through Islamification. We can't make it through sexualization of our children. We can't make it through globalization. We have to make it through being strong and focusing. Bound to no party, Trump upends 150 years of two-party rule. Even the New York Times goes, he's for real. He means what he's saying. That's why he's so dangerous. He's overthrown the system. He's horrible. He's scary. Let's get rid of him. They admit he keeps his promises. He really believes it. Oh, my God, he's horrible. What are we going to do? In the end, he goes on, when Donald J. Trump set his sights on the presidency in the 2000 election, he pushed the nomination of the Reform Party, a home for disenchanted independents. The Republican Party has just moved too far to the right. He explained the Democrats too far to the left. In the end, he dropped the campaign of the Reform Party, the leftover construct of Ross Perot, two independent presidential campaigns during the 1990s. It was one of the last five times that Trump would switch party affiliations over the 10 years. I'm the Lone Ranger, he once contended. Now in the White House, President Trump demonstrated this past week that he still imagines himself as a solitary cowboy as he abandoned Republican congressional leaders to forge a short-term fiscal deal with Democrats. Although elected as a Republican last year, Trump has shown in nearly 8 months in office that he is, in many ways, the first independent to hold the presidency since the advent of the two-party system around the time of the Civil War. That's right. Finally, truth from the New York Times. And just get on board with the American system and prosperity and let middle class and poor people have some jobs and futures. And then you elites can still be all powerful up there. Just you don't have to piss on us off your balconies because it makes you feel better. And then we're not going to let North Korea have nuclear weapons and threaten everybody. And we're not going to roll over and move everything to China so Goldman Sachs can crap down our backs. I mean, they brag about mounting America's head on the wall. Why would you mount the engine of prosperity to the wall so that people with one-inch wee-wees would feel powerful? There is no point to do any of this unless you're a satanic pedophile. And Trump is not a devil-worshipping pot-belly pedophile, and that's his great crime. Speaking of that, here is George Clooney. His parents, corrupt, famous Hollywood dons, gave him his jobs, force-fed him till he was 40-plus years old when he finally got a soap opera hit show on ER or whatever it was. Clooney says that Stephen Bannon is a butt licker or would lick his rear end. I'm sorry, this is a real quote. This is in the Daily Beast. To be successful in Hollywood and that Bannon's a loser. Bannon was successful in the Navy. He was successful in Hollywood. He was successful in banking. He then helped Trump spearhead a total come-behind victory to turn the Republic around, to turn the economy around with three-point-plus growth, and to do everything in the face of this with InfoWars, the Liberty Movement, Drudge, and everybody else to give America a real shot at not being set up and bled dry by globalist vampires to build their world government. And you, some little boy who's famous in Hollywood that they paid to have him put movies and TV shows for 30 years before he finally was on one hit TV show when he was already 40-plus years old. This loser baby with his mommy and daddy wiping his butt till he was 40 years old doing everything for him. And all he won't house any Muslims, he says, bring in. He pushes all his crap. He said Trump would never be president. And now he comes out to look at Stephen Bannon, a true blue-collar guy that came from a family that was literally at the poverty line but working at the shipping docks. So I've looked into Stephen Bannon, who was a hardcore Democrat till he realized it was a lie. And then you sit there and piss in his face with your billion-dollar family and your hundreds of millions of dollars and your nothingness, sitting there saying he's a loser who wanted you. It's like when Fox said, I wanted shows with Fox in the New York Daily News. I turned down three shows with Fox. I built my own thing. I don't need you. I don't want you. I literally piss in your face. You are the losers. You were given everything. You are the scum. God bless all our listeners and crew. Rob News coming up, more live feeds, InfoWars.com/show. Keep spreading it, InfoWars.com. We're still live after this break.